I got a text from Josh that said he wouldn't be able to make it until about 8 o'clock.
Yeah, and I got to bail early, probably around 7:30 or so.
Okay, so you'll miss him. Hopefully he'll make it. But, you know, it's kind of interesting, isn't it? First show after daylight saving changeover, and he can't make it till 8.
Yeah. He probably won't be around till 9.
No, it would have been 7, wouldn't it?
Yeah, right. Really, that's right.
So he would have been on time tonight if we hadn't.
You'll probably show up in about 5 minutes saying, hey, it's 8 o'clock, I'm here. You guys still there?
Uh-huh.
I know what the pre-roll is.
Almost live from across the USA, this is Late Night QRM! Your hosts tonight are Josh, Barry J, Barty, and Michael, the Virtual Youper. Tonight, Windows 8 fucked the show. TV pilots turned to the internet. And Hugo Chavez is still dead. All that and more on Late Night QRM! And now, digitally gathering at the plush QRM studios in Southwest New Hampshire, here's Josh, Barry J, Barty, and Michael!
Welcome, everybody, to Late Night QRM show number 85 here from the southwest corner where we had a very heavy wet snow this past Friday. And it's, did I say New Hampshire? Yeah, it's the southwest corner of New Hampshire. I'm Barry J.
And coming from mighty Redfield in central New York, helping the podcast all over the world, here is Barty.
And from northeast of Copper Harbor, in the geographical center of Lake Superior, I'm Michael, the Virtual Youper.
And Josh said he'll be late tonight if he can make it, so we'll see what happens. Of course, this is the first Late Night QRM since the push the clocks forward 1 hour.
Hence Josh's late show up.
He said he's going to show up at 8 o'clock. It's like, So, it's just getting dark here. And, of course, that means Michael probably has about 4 more hours of daylight.
It'll be a while yet.
And it was very spring-like today. We got 10 inches of very wet snow here on Friday, so needless to say, as I'm fondly called at work, the wimp stayed home again, because it did take me a good after just to do half the driveway because the snow was so wet, and then Saturday I went and did the other half of the driveway, but it was clugging up the snowblower left and right. You know, I had the little shovel that comes with it, and I had to unclog the chute every so often. The augers were getting all caked up, so I had to unclog those. It was a very messy snow.
Did you snap any auger pins?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you.
I was lucky. Yeah, so far I can't say that. I have snapped a couple. Matter of fact, I snapped a couple and pulled the auger right out of its bearing.
Holy cow.
Inside, when I hit the coax to my antenna the first time out.
Nice. Good going.
Which cost me about $300 to get it repaired.
So. Tony and I have snapped a few auger pins in our time, but we never ran into any coax, luckily. Haley have anywhere near the driveway, so I guess we're good to go. We have gotten the tractor stuck because we have drainage ditches on either side of the driveway. And in the wintertime, it's hard to gauge just where the drainage ditch is until you land a tire in it. Then it's time to get out the truck or the Jeep and pull the sucker out.
Yeah. It should be around here somewhere. Oh, there it is.
Yeah, exactly. So there you go. You always try to push just close enough, thinking, well, I think I got another inch or two. I can move this. I can move. Oh, crap.
Well, and I can say, well, hell, everybody knows where we were. But needless to say, I'm happy to report I survived a layoff.
That's a quest.
I guess you did too, Barty.
Yes, I did.
So that was well, kind of scary times on Monday. It's one of those days where you walk into work and you hope nobody, you'll get a phone call or your boss comes around to you and says, "Hey, I need to talk to you for a minute."
Yeah, really. Well, we're pretty much down to bare bones. They don't really have any more of us that they can really cut without losing the level of service that they require from us. And we've pretty much explained that to them. Is that this is all we can do with the people we have. And if you cut any more money from us and we lose a person, this is the amount of service you will lose from us.
Yeah. We're kind of in the same boat. Matter of fact, it's funny. We had layoffs on a Monday and two new people started. Well, they weren't new to the company, but, I mean, two new people to our group started. So, because we've still got two more people we're looking for. So,
well, it says good things about the project you're on.
Yeah, for now. We'll see what sequestration does to it.
Yeah, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, Obama's too busy cutting hours at parks and stuff that are visible to the public.
Right, I saw an article that said, you know, none of his vacations got cut. They're still got a budget for those.
Yeah, and all of his expenses with taking all those Republicans out to dinner, which was a great idea. But, you know, the Secret Service and the extra security and all that kind of stuff.
Instead of having it at the White House, which he could have, and, you know, if he needed to meet with people. But no, he took them out to a restaurant at a hotel.
And his trips to the golf course, those haven't been affected.
No. None of his vacations.
Nothing has been sequestered there.
Well, that's important.
Yeah, we definitely want to give some golf time to our president.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, what the hell? All the other presidents did it, you know. So.
Yeah.
I mean, not that any of them were facing a sequester activity, you know. But
well, you always hear that, when it comes to vacation time, that G.W. Bush spent more time on vacation. There's a difference. His vacations were at his ranch in Texas. That's a little different. As a matter of fact, that would be called the Western White House at the time. And they set it up for security. It's a given. They always do that. And so it's just basically going from one White House to another White House. It's not actually him taking vacations at exotic places and sending the family out to Europe and Africa.
Yeah, really. But you know what? The Bush family is not really from Texas. They're originally from Connecticut.
Oh, yeah.
That was where they grew up.
Right. Yes. And, I think... I think GW spent most of his time in Texas. His dad grew up in
Texas. His dad actually moved the family to Texas.
Yeah, when he got in the oil business.
Yeah. Well, it's a good place to be in the oil business.
Yeah, because GW has a Texas accent, so.
Well, he's been there long enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, it's really kind of funny that it was the original George Bush's dad had been involved with past administrations during World War II that some of his business interests actually profited from some of the Nazi activities in Germany.
Yep, the him and the Kennedys too, I believe.
Yeah, the Kennedys. Well, he profited from everything. I mean, come on. Yeah. You're going to bring the Kennedys up. I mean, geez, you better start ducking from the mafia and a dozen other organizations. I mean, John wasn't killed by accident, and neither was Bobby. It's a shame Bobby got killed, but I guess I shouldn't say that it was good that John got killed,
neither one of them deserved it. But, you know, that's what happens when you ask the mob to help out in elections and they start back screwing them.
Yeah, those are the kind of people you really want to piss off.
And I don't care what anybody says. That my belief is that it was a mob hit on both of them, because anybody else that would have done it, it would have gotten out in the open and stuff, but you know, mob hits the mob knows how to keep their mouths shut.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was just, you did some wrong there against them. So, and Bobby Kennedy, of course, you know, when he was the attorney general, he
went after them.
So it was like, no way we're going to let this guy be president.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Just bury it under lots of snow.
Yeah, as Jimmy Hoffa is a perfect example. Nobody knows where he is. And how long?
Yeah, he keeps showing up every once in a while. Oh, he's buried here. No, he's buried there.
Yeah. So,
they're not looking for Jimmy anymore. They're looking for his remains.
Yeah. And it's a well-known fact that J. Edgar Hoover hated the Kennedys. So,
they kind of rubbed a lot of crap in his face, you know.
Right, but so, you know, he would tend to not investigate it too hard.
Yeah, really.
So, anyway.
Yeah, but you never hear any of that kind of stuff talked about on The Sopranos when that was on, you know?
Oh, well, you know. That's
TV pilots back then were being brought out onto the networks, and you know, having something like that on HBO was kind of a rarity. But now TV shows are being all their pilots and stuff, and some actual shows are coming out on the internet instead of the networks.
It is very cool.
I think it's freaking exciting.
I like it. Exciting. It's the way I want TV to be.
Exactly. I mean, get rid of this stuff where you have to tune in on a certain day at a certain time to watch a show. Just simply record it and release it, and I'll watch it when I can manage it. You know, it's like podcasting. You know, you don't want to have to tune in at a certain time to catch something. I mean, what the heck? Your life isn't quite so regimented that way. You know, I mean, maybe back in the 50s, people had a humdrum life where they were always home at the same time every day, and they could watch the same thing at the same time day after day. But that's not the way our lifestyles are anymore. You know, we have a much more fluid life. And the way that TV is now starting to turn, this is exciting.
I don't know whether you've checked it out, but, that's right. You don't have Netflix anymore. But you might want to think about getting the streaming one, at least, because they have House of Cards.
Yeah,
it's a Netflix produced show, and man, it's a good show if you want to learn about what Washington's like. Man, they did this right. And
a show with Kevin Spacey, I mean, that is a major draw. I am really thinking about going back to Netflix just so I can watch Kevin Spacey.
Well, this is a good show.
An incredible actor.
It's a good show, and this is kind of a neat thing. They did this both with Lilyhammer, which is another Netflix only show. Speaking about The Sopranos, now they did it with this, and they put all 13 episodes out at the same time.
I love that.
I'm already through 8 episodes, but I've been watching 3 at a time, and they're developed and made so that they fit together like that, or you take a break and come back to it, you know, a couple days later or whatever. But it's so well produced, and the fact that there's no commercials in it is also nice. But I saw Netflix has had two episodic TV shows that they put out. Lilyhammer was the first, which I enjoyed, and now House of Cards I love.
Well, there's more coming down the pipe. From other sources.
Yeah, they're bringing back Arrested Development.
Oh, that was funny. I love that show.
Yeah, well, it's coming back, and it's a Netflix show, so you're going to have to get a stream.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to have to.
You have to suck it up and get it, because right now they're the only ones doing it. But I'll bet you Amazon won't be far away from doing it, too. So,
with the Netflix streaming, is there any way to download it and watch it later?
I don't think so. I think it's strictly streaming.
With us, the bandwidth is a pretty big issue because, like I said, we're on a DSL connection and we're like 3 miles from the switch, which is the basic limit of DSL. So we're at the extreme edge, and so our bandwidth tends to go up and down. You know, it a lot of times it's fairly high. So I went and got two connections, and I've got two routers, and I try to move the various traffic from one to the other. I know if
Hang on, Barty.
Yeah?
Stop for a minute.
Okay.
Crap.
What?
Let me guess. Windows 8 stopped recording.
Yes, it did, and I haven't touched it.
The backup connection here is up and recording, though.
Yay!
Good. So you're going to have to send it to me this time.
Well, as long as it stays up, but yeah, I've got it all.
What are you recording on, Mike?
Well, I've got my MacBook Pro, which is what I'm talking on, and then I've got a Mac Mini with another Skype connection.
We're good to go.
And that's going into a Sony Mini Disc. But it works.
Mini Disc, really?
Sony Mini Disc.
Well, keep talking because I'm going to have to it locked it up nice and good. I'm going to try to save off the file that I've got. Oh, this is incredible.
We now have live coverage of Windows 8 locking up.
This is why I brought the Mac Mini up. Not the Mac Mini, my MacBook Pro, so I wouldn't have to touch this. Because you used to look at the show notes on the PC, and I was getting a little nervous about doing that. But there is no reason why.
You sure didn't just go to sleep or something, thinking that nothing was going on?
No, it's locked. I'm looking at my levels, and they're frozen.
Oh, man.
Hang on.
So what was the last thing I said? I know I was talking about going to Netflix.
I don't remember quite the last thing you were saying because I was, at that point, got the lockup got my attention.
Yeah, I don't blame you there.
All right, come on.
Most old movies and TV shows we've been watching on Amazon Prime.
You were talking about bandwidth.
Oh, yeah, bandwidth. Okay. Yeah. The bandwidth issue was so tight here that trying to run too many things through one router got to be a bit of a pain. So I got a second connection because I've got two phone lines coming to the house, right. Which originally eliminated a phone line possibility for some other house. Luckily, it was empty at the time, but it just kind of cracked me up. I can't help but keep bringing it up because I think it's just funny.
Yeah, we'd like to buy this house. Yeah, there's one problem. What's that?
You can't have a phone. There's no cell phone access out here.
Until Barty gives up a second connection, you can't have a phone.
Yeah, so I've got two routers. So if I want to stream something, I'll move all the activity from one router to the other. So the streaming router is totally inactive except for the one stream activity, you know. And I do that when I try to go onto online gaming. I take and move everything from the router that my Xbox talks to and move it all to the other router. You know, so that everybody can argue for time on that router, and I've got nothing but me on this router, and it's worked out pretty well. But streaming movies, that's like an incredible amount of data. You would think that playing games online would be, but there's not really any video traffic. It's mainly just, just data going back and forth as to where you are, what you're seeing, and things like that. You know, whereas with trying to watch a movie, you're like streaming a whole lot of video data down to you. And even if I empty one router completely and try to watch a movie, there are still times, maybe there's too many people talking on the phone, that I get some pauses and things like that in movies, and I can't get it in high def. I can only get it in standard def. So
what kind of do you get then?
Pardon me?
What kind of bandwidth are you getting on the download?
It varies. It varies. Most of the time, it's kind of like around 3.5. But when I start streaming, I start to lose some of that. I don't know if the switch 3 miles away is kind of a trying to balance traffic or what.
Your bit error rate might be high enough to cause problems. Because we're watching Netflix. Now, we're not watching it in HD, but we're watching Netflix on a pretty regular basis here on a megabit. But it's a real consistent megabit. So if you're 3.5 and you're getting bit error rates and stuff and you're dropping down, you know, way down, that I could see that happening.
Yeah. So that's about the only downside. You know, if I could like download it and watch it later, that would be a whole lot better because, you know, then I wouldn't have to worry about the streaming issue.
While we're talking, meanwhile, Scotty, i.e. Barry, is hard working in the engineering department trying to figure out what's going on. How's our audio doing now? Okay.
But I'm trying to save off the file that I have, and
my
actual QRM Studios directory disappeared on my E drive, which I had to go find. So I'm hoping I'm not having a hard drive.
Send the red shirt in a space suit to an extra extra ship excursion into space to work something on the outside of the ship. And if he dies, who cares? As long as he fixes the problem.
Okay, I got a segue here. Speaking of sci-fi, Friday was the 35th anniversary of the first airing of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Really?
Yep.
Man, that was a good excuse for a party. I wish I had known.
Yeah, well, I didn't find out. Well, they talked about it on Friday, but I didn't listen to the episode until today. It was on Tech News Today from Leo's group there.
Oh, yeah.
But,
I don't really...
But, yeah, March 8th, 1970... What, that was 78, would that be? Yeah, it was 35. And that was the radio program. That wasn't when they got into the TV series yet. And it was the first airing at 10:30 at night.
Wow. 10:30 at night. Holy crap.
So...
Yeah, I remember when that book came out, I was overseas. I was in Misawa when that came out. Well, I guess I'd been out for a while, but I discovered it back then.
God, yeah, I was in Misawa in 85, but I didn't discover Doctor Who until I came back to the States. We got it on our cable system, and it was like, what the hell is this show? You know, who's this guy traveling around in a police booth, you know? And, of course, the booth was, like, so huge inside and so small outside, and that got my attention. And that was the guy that had the big trench coat and the huge hat with the long,
Baker.
Curly hair. I love that. He's been my favorite traveler. That was the guy that I most loved to watch. I mean, the way he delivered his one-liners and stuff just cracked me up.
Want a jelly baby?
His name is Tom Baker.
Yeah. But his real name is Tom Baker.
I'll have to see if I can find some way of getting his episodes because I loved it. I've been watching one on Amazon Prime, one series of Doctor Who that has a very short-haired guy with an okay-looking chick. Of course, most of the Doctor Who chicks are not bad-looking. And... he was the one that presided over the destruction of the Earth, if you remember that.
No.
Yeah, they all got together, and there were like beings from all different universes that all came together at this one place so they could witness the destruction of the Earth. You know, and it kept bringing me back to Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I kept wondering, where's Arthur Dent, you know? There should be some scene where they're telling him he has to leave his house because his planet's about to be destroyed.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. That wasn't the one before here. That wasn't David.
I don't remember what his name is. I just ran across it on Amazon, and I was kind of disappointed that it wasn't, as you say, Tom Baker. I didn't know what his name was because, you know, I watched it for like a few months, and I was just like captivated. This is like some amazing stuff. But, you know, I never really paid attention to who the actor was. I thought it was going to be on forever, right? I mean, why wouldn't it be?
Yeah. All right. I'm almost Saving off now.
Yeah, while you're doing that, one of the sites that I peruse from time to time is called Imgur. I don't know if you guys hit that site at all. Imgur. It's pretty cool if you haven't.
I'll have to check it out. I've never heard of it.
But it's just that, check it out and you'll see what I'm talking about. But it's cool GIFs and pictures and stuff, and it's all user-uploaded stuff. But there's one where, probably about a month ago now, where a father had uploaded a picture of his kid's room in the entrance. And the entrance, they just had in one little cubby hole of one corner of a room, there's the police call box. And you open up the door of the police call box, and it's actually the entryway into the kid's bedroom.
Whoa!
So you walk into the call box, and you walk into their full bedroom. It's really cool.
Oh, that's great.
Well, if I could put that in the front of my house, that would be awesome. Of course, nobody around here would get it.
Oh, come on. Okay. I'm almost there, guys. Keep talking.
All right.
Well, you're done the show.
I kind of have to be going.
Oh, no. You can't do that. Michael will have to talk to himself.
Can we jump to Hugo Chavez?
Is he still dead?
Is he still dead?
Yes, he is. I'm going to restart. Hang on. I'm restarting Audition here. Because it was blocked up bad.
Where's Audition running?
On the PC.
Well, maybe you ought to go back to running it on the Mac.
Yeah, I never really did it on the Mac because the PC's always been my studio.
Well, maybe you ought to get a PC OS and run it under VMware on your Mac.
Well, I have a copy of it for my Mac. It's already on there, but I could. But the whole idea was I can come up here and there's already a PC all set up, connected into the board. I don't have to do anything.
Save its ass once in a while.
Yeah, well, now. I'm not real happy. This has got to be Windows 8 because I've never had any problems with it on Windows 7. Okay.
Sure, playing Windows 8. Maybe this is the Windows 7 legacy era that just now showed up.
All right. Let's,
was this an upgrade or a clean install?
It was an upgrade.
See, there you go.
Yeah.
It could have been a lingering disaster just waiting to rear its ugly head.
Or it could just be Windows 8.
Yeah. All right, we're recording again. So this is going to be one hell of a patch job. So,
yes.
Okay, so now we're recording, so we've got two recordings going again. So anyway, yes. So
Chavez is dead. Happy for Chavez that he's gone. Hope to God that his successor is not as sucky as he was or as stupid.
Yeah.
But all things tend to point to the likelihood that he's going to be just as bad, if not worse.
And of course, if you believe one of the generals was there when he died and he said his last words were, and this is so true of any good hero out there, he said, I think his last words he said was, "Don't let me die. God, I don't want to die." And then he died.
Well, Steve Jobs said, "Oh, wow."
Yeah, but what does that mean?
That was like Steve Jobs trying to indicate that there was something he was seeing that we weren't. You know how Steve is.
Yeah.
He just never had a moment to say, and there's one more thing.
It's either that or he came up with that one last thing. That was like, oh, this is it. This is the perfect device. Wow. And then...
Damn it, I'm dying.
Oh, his well.
His version of Rosebud.
Yeah. I will never know.
What word could I utter that would have people guessing for decades is who I meant. Yeah. Wow.
Right, okay.
Wow, yeah. So, yep, he's still dead. And can't say I'm that upset about it.
So. Yeah, the only thing with just things like that is you never know if it's going to get better or worse.
That's true. Sometimes you don't want to wish things like that because at least he was a known bad guy.
Exactly. We knew what his habits were and things like that, you know. But the next guy, well, he might not be quite so nice to us.
Yeah.
Despite hating us. You know, so. At least Chavez helped keep some of our gas prices down at times, you know, just for his own profit, obviously. But,
right.
You know, we benefited from his profiteering. And the next guy might be like, screw you guys, you know.
That's true, but I think we're their number one customer. Although I guess it could be replaced. China, I'm sure, would just love to jump in there and buy oil.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's very, very true. I'm sure that China would love nothing more than to throw a wrench into our economic recovery machine.
Right.
Because, and let's face it, the cost of gas is a major issue with our economy. You know, the more it costs for gas, the more it costs for transportation, transporting of goods, and all the way through it. It's a ripple effect kind of thing. So, you know, if China can create something that causes a huge increase in the cost of doing business in America, it's only going to make our economy take a step back.
All right. And that happened in New Hampshire here this in January, which we all knew it was coming. But I got my first electric bill after the price hike. We went from 72 cents a kilowatt hour. It jumped up to 92 cents or 93 cents a kilowatt hour.
Really?
And
93 cents?
Yes. And
serious?
And yeah, I'm on the budget plan, and I got my first bill after that. And my budget bill went up $100.
Our bill went up, but we thought it was because we were using more electric heaters than we had been previously, because in January it got really, really cold here. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we do, we have a crawl space where some of our we have baseboard heating. Mm-hmm. And some of the baseboard heating pipes run through the crawl space. So we tend to, when it gets bone-chilling cold, we have a heater and a fan where the heater sits behind the fan, and the fan blows warm air into the crawl space to try to keep it above freezing.
Mm, yeah.
And we thought that because it was so cold that we were maybe running that a bit more than we had previously, because our bill jumped up quite a bit too. I think I'll take a look at what the kilowatt hour cost was and see if that changed as well.
Now, one of the things, we've had a lot of commercials in New Hampshire about back in 2001, they allow competition, basically. So basically, if you don't go and pick somebody to supply your electricity, you get the default, which is PSNH. They really are the, I don't know whether it's the same way for everybody, but in New Hampshire, you have two bills, two charges on your electric bill. One is the supplier, and then one is the distributor.
Yeah, we have the same thing here. Okay. We have National Grid as our supplier.
I think they're related to PSNH. And so PSNH is really a distributor, but they have to provide electricity by default if nobody picks one. So by default, you get theirs. And of course, whenever they do a hike in their supply side, they have to ask permission. And they did, and they got it. And the new, like I said, it went up to 93 cents a kilowatt hour.
That's just mind blowing. I can't imagine electricity that high.
Well, and all the other, other companies were putting ads on TV. And this is funny, because I started paying attention to them, and then I said, I'm going to have to look into that. So last week I looked into it, and I said, well, this kind of makes sense, because I actually signed up for one. Because they're charging to supply electricity, they're charging 72 cents a kilowatt hour. And so I said, well, what the heck? And that's guaranteed through November. And then they renegotiate, because, you know, this is what these guys do. And I signed up for it, but it takes a couple of weeks before it goes into effect. So I signed up for it, and I said, well, I hope this works out, and it cuts my bill a little bit. And then I got the actual electric bill like 2 days later, and I'm like, oh, I am so glad I signed up for that. <'Cause>, but now I have to see if I can get them to redo my budget plan. Because, you know, the new thing came in and they automatically adjusted my monthly payment. And now that I'm going back to 72 cents a kilowatt hour, it should be adjusted back. But I have a funny feeling they're not so willing to adjust it back. But, you know,
You got a funny feeling. Yeah, right. You feel a knife being wiggled in your back.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, we do have high electric costs here because the upstairs is electric heat. I have oil heat for the bottom. The whole house used to be electric, but then when we got the New Hampshire got to be one of the highest electric bills or electric prices in the country, the people that used to own the house put oil heat in, which takes care of the bottom, but they didn't take it up to the top, so the top is still electric. So we use it at
oil
night.
It's not really cheap these days either. I mean, you're paying the last time I got a fill up, I didn't really get a fill up. We just asked for the minimum number we could get, which was like, I think about 100 gallons. And it was like $4, a little over $4 a gallon for fuel oil. And it's like, you got to be kidding me. When we moved in here in 2004, I don't remember how cheap it was, but a total, we had a 1,000 gallon tank. That we were working out of, and we would like put like a few hundred gallons into it, and it was like dirt cheap. It was like around a couple dollars a gallon. It was cheaper than gasoline, you know. It was like a buck cheaper than gas, you know. But these days, it's now a little bit more expensive than gasoline. Mm-hmm. So when you see gas at just under $4 a gallon, fuel oil is just over $4 a gallon,
right?
And to get like 100 gallons, it costs us a few hundred dollars. It's like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, well, I'm on a budget plan for that, too. So I can pay it throughout the year. Because it's the same thing here. But my electric bill before, my monthly budgeted electric bill was $279 a month. And it just went up to $370. And I'm like, I told Anne Marie, I said, you wanted to live in the cold. I said, get used to being cold upstairs because that electric heat's being turned down to like 60.
This is funny. You're blaming this on Anne.
I'm not blaming her. But
she wanted to live in the cold. Where did you want to live?
Well, yes, but lately we've been talking about...
No. Where did you want to live?
I wanted to live in New Hampshire, too.
All right, so you can't blame it on Anne-Marie.
But I can live
Stop that right there.
I can live with the thermostat at 60.
I'm going to write Anne-Marie and say, hey, Harry's talking bad crap about you.
I can live with the thermostat at 60. She can't. I come up at night and the thing's cranked at 70.
My wife is the same way. She can live with it at 60, but I can't. I have to have it at 70.
All right. Before we get too far on tangents here, it's something I wanted to interject a little bit ago, and I want to make sure it doesn't get lost. So you've got regular hydronic heat in your house there, Barty?
Hydronic? What does that mean?
Hot water heat.
Yeah, it's all baseboard heating.
Okay. If you haven't done this yet, standard procedure up here in the UP, anyhow, I know maybe it's not code in New York, but we have the crawl space problem everywhere, and we deal with it a little differently, and that is you make sure you've got a good one-way valve and a shutoff on your system, and we put antifreeze in our hydronic heat systems.
Yeah, we do that here, too.
Oh, okay. So you shouldn't need a space heater in the basement.
So we don't have a shutoff. We just add antifreeze to it. But,
right.
My wife and I are kind of paranoid. We've had the whole system freeze up twice because of freeze-ups in the crawl space. So the cost of running electricity for a few days a month, it's mostly in January that it gets, you know, down below zero and stuff. When that stuff is susceptible, it's a lot cheaper to run a heater and a fan into the crawl space than it is to have a plumber come out here and thaw out all the pipes and put new piping in. We found that out the hard way twice now.
Okay. No, I just
one time we weren't. I mean, in our defense, we weren't home for it. We were on a business trip, or I was on a business trip. And I brought my wife with me because, you know, I don't want to be without her. And the other time we were home, and it just got really, really cold, and we thought we were taken care of because we had charged the antifreeze in the early part of the winter, and it got so cold that it still froze anyway. So we took to heating the crawl space ever since.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah, something sounds strange there, but I understand.
Yeah. Well, this was a home-built house. Somebody built this all on his own, and he built every part of it on his own. So if there are errors somewhere, trust me, I've been finding most of them, and my wife and I have been struggling to correct them. So we were dealing with whatever mistakes were made in the construction of this house step by step as we discover them or as they slap us in the face. Okay. But, hey, I got to be running, guys. I'm way behind schedule here.
Okay.
So, yeah. All right. Well, good to hear you, Barty.
Great talking to you two guys. Yeah. How much snow you have over there, Mike?
I don't know. We got probably about 4 or 5 inches of wet, heavy stuff last night, and we're expecting more today. But yeah, everything's compressing down. So, and there's probably only, you know, 2-3 feet in the woods right now. It's very thick, dense snow.
Yeah, we were going through the same thing here. We've got about 2 feet of snow here out in the open. I haven't had a chance to go out in the woods much. We've been working on our house and doing upgrades and things like that. Currently, we're rebuilding our bathroom, and boy, has that been fun. But anyway, hey, it's great talking to you two guys.
Yeah.
I said hi, and sorry I missed him. When he shows up, if he shows up.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Kind of big, heavy Black Ops fight on Xbox, you know.
I didn't check that. No, he must have, I think he had something going.
Yeah, get your ass over here, dude. Great talking to you.
All right, we'll see you. We'll hopefully see you next week.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye.
But, yeah, that was a shocker, that electric bill. And, of course, everything else has been going up, too. So it's like, it's, uh-oh, are you there? Michael? 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 I can't believe it. Oh, there we go. Hello? Are you there?
Hello.
Oh.
As soon as he dropped off, both my connections dropped.
I know. It was like he hung up and you hung up too. So Skype has some issues still.
Yeah, literally both my machines dropped at the same time.
Oh, and there's Josh. He's coming on, I think. I've got dots in his face.
Yeah, I've got a picture.
With dots in his face? Flashing dots.
Only issue is I don't see him online when I go to my contacts.
Oh, I wonder.
It's confused.
It is very confused. I think it's trying to call him.
Yeah, it is, but he's not online.
Because I was about to call you guys, and then you called me, so I just answered your call, and now it's trying to call him. Okay. Well,
but shouldn't it know that he's not online?
Skype has some issues.
Yeah. Okay. So. Well, I just... But, you know, literally, both my machines just went, bonk, call ended. How was the call quality of the call? Crap.
Well, I got to say, Skype's call quality is much better. It just gets confused on the connecting part and disconnecting, obviously.
Yeah, apparently.
Very interesting. So, yeah, so that was my shock of the day. And then in the process, I made a realization. We're switching our banks. We decided to go back to a credit union because the bank started nickeling and diming us to death on charges. And, you know, I'm sitting there and it's like $8 every month, $8. When did that start? Why? Oh, you don't have the maximum or you don't have the minimum in your checking account. Okay, what is the minimum? $5,000 in a checking account.
What?
And so, and then I had this, I don't know whether I talked about this before, but I have overdraft protection where it automatically check, you know, it'll create a quick little loan for me. Well, I did a timing with the mortgage payment and my bank account, my paycheck. Well, for some reason, last month, the mortgage payment beat my paycheck coming in. And we have a significant mortgage payment because, you know, we're trying to pay it off early. So needless to say, it generated an automatic loan for me for $300. And, so I went online and there was no way I could get to that account for the loan. I couldn't pay it. The only way I could do it is actually to go into the bank. Well, there's a problem with that because you see, I work the same time the bank is open. So it makes it very difficult for me to get to the bank. So finally I called them and I said, I can't get to it. Why can't I get to it online and pay it? Because all I had to do is, you know, we're talking about hours here and I just wanted to transfer the money back and pay the thing off. And they said, it's not showing up as one of your accounts. Oh, here, we can fix that for you. Click, click, click. Okay. Now it's on there. I said, good. So tonight I can go home and you know, take care of that, and because it already accrued like $2 in interest, and she said, "Oh yeah, well I could do that for you now if you'd like." I said, "You could." I said, "Well yeah, I'd appreciate that." So she goes, "Okay," and she took care of it, and she goes, "Okay, will that be all?" And I said, "Yeah, thanks." And I got home, and of course, you know, being the trustful person that I am, especially when it comes to that kind of stuff, I went online and I made sure that I had access to that loan account, and I did. And I noticed that it was paid off. And I also noticed that there was a $2 fee for the telephone payoff.
Oh, jeez.
So that was like, I know it's a small thing, but that was the straw that broke the camel's back. And I said, I'm tired of this. The other thing was one time, and this was another big oops, because one time we're sitting there, my wife and I were sitting there watching TV one night, and all of a sudden I get this email from the bank, and there's Jesh is online, from the bank, and it tells me that somebody is trying to access my account online. And so...
No way.
Hey, there he is.
Hey.
Uh-oh. Oh, look at that.
Oh.
Oh, very good. So, I'm telling the story about switching from the bank to the credit union. I was telling some of my stories with the bank, and including, and I think you've already heard this, so I'll catch up real quick. One night when we were watching TV, I got this email from the bank, and it said somebody was trying to access my account. So I called the 1-800 number right away, and I got a recording that said, please call back within normal business hours, which are, and I'm like, wait a minute. Somebody's trying to break into my frickin' accounts. And you don't have 24-hour service about this? Yeah, oh yeah. I'll call you back tomorrow when all my money's gone. So, needless to say, we finally decided we're going with the local credit union here, which we're very happy with. And oh, by the way, they use Intuit for their online banking service, which means they have 24-hour service and access and people online, which is very nice. But I'm into that part where I found out that most of my bills come in on the 15th. And or due on the 15th, and I decided to switch over my direct deposit, and it didn't make it this past week, so I'm hoping to God it makes it this week, in which case I'm sitting there watching it, because I'm going to have to be transferring some money real quick if from one account to another to make sure my bills get covered.
Yeah.
And I picked the middle of the month because I said, well, I don't want it to happen, you know, at the beginning of the month when the mortgage is due, because that's a major hassle. Although I should have done that because I think you got 15 days to pay your mortgage. A grace period. But these other bills, I don't have such the nice grace period. And I thought wrongly. That's all I can say. So now I'm sitting there. I'm at that point, and I said, man, this is one hell of a hassle. I'm hoping this credit union works out because I don't want to change again. You know, it's just it's a major hassle to change your financial institution.
Yes.
So, Josh, welcome. You missed Marty. He was here and left. He had to leave
already?
Early. Yeah. So.
Yeah, you missed Windows 8 crashing right during the recording, too.
Yes.
Oh, jeez.
So, luckily.
Oh, well, I'm sorry I missed that.
Yeah, luckily, the virtual Youper was up and recording. So, really? So I think we'll have a full show. It'll be a fun edit this week.
I'm sure you'll hear a slight difference in audio quality as we switch from one recording to the other, but it'll be there.
So the backup recording is...
We are now entering technical difficulties. Please bear with us for the next 10-minute segment.
And I may have to think about doing something like that here, having another backup, because I'm just not trusting this Windows 8 crap anymore. So.
Really? Jeez, who'd have thunk?
Yeah. Such a good operating system. So how you been?
Good. Real good, actually. Let's see here. Our weekend, ours meaning mine and my beautiful bride's, where it was fun. We ended up tripping across. She researched and we found, and I'm jumping ahead. It's at the end of the show notes here, but we found a little shop off of Temple Street, 4 Temple Street in Nashua here, called Jasper's Homebrew and Winemaking. And honest to God, it's like walking into beer makers and winemakers heaven.
Uh-huh.
It's a neat little shop. These guys have every piece of equipment at their disposal. They don't have them all set up because the shop's just not big enough, but they have everyone at their disposal. They have got literally the equivalent of a 1-bay garage from floor to ceiling stacked with bags of hops and bag like 50-pound bags of hops, as well as all the barley and everything necessary to make you name the type of beer.
Yeah.
I want to put their website on the show notes here because it's an awesome website. It's www.boomchugalug.com.
Oh, that's a great name. Oh, that is classic. That's great. So,
and, need a or you can go on the end of that.
Or it's Jasper's. Is the guy's email is the gentleman, two guys, Jeff and Jim. And we're talking, Jeff is a Jedi master at what it takes to make beer. And if you go to his website, I think he's got 40 or 50 free recipes on making different Belgian whites, blondes, ales, lagers, reds, all the types of different beers, and everything, including the measurements of what you would need to make them.
Yep.
And they have a database that's got, I want to say, upwards of 2,000 different recipes.
Yeah. Yep.
You go to the store.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Is that the one
I walked in there.
I'm sorry. Is that the one on Main Street? Or is that... is this a different one?
It's on Temple Street, right off Main Street, Nashua.
Okay. Because I've heard of...
There is one
down there on Main Street. You're cylining a little bit, too. We've been having problems with cylining tonight, although it tends to clear up. Are you still there?
It is. It's off of Main... Yeah, I'm still here. It's off of Main Street in Nashua. I'd say about 2 city blocks down from City Hall.
Okay.
So if I don't know if I'm cyloning right now or not, but 2 city blocks down from City Hall, heading towards Amherst, and then you bang a right on Temple. They're right there on the left-hand side. Great, great, great shop. And as far as the type of beers they have, they import. They have so many different beers from so many countries. I've never seen that many all in one place.
Hmm.
And you can buy them and fire them six packs, and it's just absolutely mind-boggling. So much so that I know you had started the late night QRM beer, the brewery. I'm going to do the same thing here.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds a lot like Brewtopia. I go to the in Keene. It's called Brewtopia, which it sounds very similar to that place, and they have the same thing. And what I like is you can get the recipe from them, and then they have all the ingredients, and they bag it for you. It's not a kit.
Okay. Well, these guys have, which was really awesome. I was talking to Jim, he handed me this list, which I have here in front of me, which is a beer and wine making equipment kits.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you're just wanting to get just started off, and you've never brewed your own brew before, and you want to give it a whack. They have a list of what you're going to need.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, a lot of folks, you can go out and buy books, but what's so awesome is this is all condensed into this one sheet.
Mm-hmm.
Like a single stage home brew kit. It's $80.
Mm-hmm.
For all the equipment, and they have it all right there. They put it together for you. Here you go. This gets you off and running.
Yep.
And then they have a two-stage deluxe homebrew kit, and then a two-stage super deluxe homebrew kit, which is if you want to really brew some serious batches of beer.
Yeah.
It's a 6.5-gallon glass carboy. You know, the stopper, the funnel. You got your hydrometer, bottle brushes, siphon set up. All that kind of stuff, and then how to bottle it.
Right.
So I'm really jazzed about this one. So I'm not sure. I want to peruse over their recipes, and then but I'm not sure type of what kind of beer I want to make first.
Well, it depends on what you want.
I don't want to get into anything too tricky, too overly complex. You know, coming out of the gate. Not because I couldn't handle it, just I don't want to get disillusioned because I screwed up a batch.
Yeah, an ale would be good, like a light ale,
a pale ale.
Yeah, pale ale or Auburn, whatever, or red. I think I'm going to try an IPA next time, but they're the easy ones. Lagers, you actually need kind of special equipment and a cool place to keep it, because lagers require you to cool it down a bit during the fermenting process.
With fermentation.
Right, so you really need some special equipment if you want to do it right for that.
Well, I was talking to those guys, and they said, I'm like, if you need a cool spot and you want to make a lager, and I'm like, yeah. They said, but if you want to make an ale, you don't want it to be cool. Optimum temperature is room, 70 degrees
right. Yep.
to make an ale.
Yeah.
To do a lager, it ferments at colder temperatures, and you're looking for somewhere in about the 55 degrees. He said it would be perfect.
Right.
And I said, really? I said, well, as it happens, my basement stays about 55 degrees year-round.
Well, then, that would be perfect lager place if it does. And the problem is it can't vary that much. With lagers, it's got to remain like 55 degrees, a constant 55 degrees.
Right, and the nice thing is, On a hot August day, you can go down into where I have the weights and the bench press set up and damn near see your breath. It's cold. It's cold in the basement.
Well, you might have a perfect place for lagers.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And if I wanted to stay on a warmer side making my ales, I'm going to brew them probably in my garage.
Yeah.
My garage always is at least 70. And do the ales in there and do the lagers in the basement.
Right, yeah. Matter of fact, I was just looking because I was drinking Brew 2 yesterday, matter of fact, and I said, I'm getting down. I really definitely need to start thinking about Brew 3 because it's been a while. Mm-hmm. And
That plus you got, your double filtration process where if you can't get around the bottling it right away, it's one of the things you ever seen, you can double pull it off, and then it buys you like a week to be able to bottle all this stuff up if you just can't find the time.
Right.
But, like I said, Jeff and Jim are, wealth of information, really nice personable guys, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, easy to talk to, down to earth. There's no intimidation factor. I feel like I'm doing an infomercial for it, but I really, you know, of the four people that listen to this show, if one of them says, hey, maybe I'll give these guys a call about brewing beer, do it. You know, it's I'm all about supporting them because I'm really excited. I'm really excited. I've never brewed beer before. And my wife is brewing a lot of different teas, fermented teas, some called June, and others are a kefias, a milk kefia, a regular kefia. It's how you make basically your own homemade soda that has health benefits to it. And so she's got this stuff growing all in glass jars in each room because some of them have to stay apart from one another because they feed off a different microbes in the air and they'll feed off each other, and which is it's kind of like walking around in Frankenstein's laboratory here at the house now.
I noticed she took a picture. She took a picture, and I noticed the little air gaps, whatever they're called, sitting in some bottles.
Oh, absolutely! And I actually said to her, you know, at one point, and I'm really stoked for it. I actually drank. She made a mango kefia. I think that I'm saying that right, which has a whole bunch of health benefits and properties to it. And she said, "Here, I just brewed this up. You want to try it?" And I looked at the original jar and I said, "You know, I don't want to sound like a jerk here, but that looks like you got snot floating in slime, and I don't know if I want to be drinking it." Is it really? I'm like, you got snot floating in gray. Let's see, off brown water. I'm happy and excited for you, but I don't know if I'm going to be willing to drink it. And she mixed it and made it with mango and they filtered it. And I'll tell you, the stuff don't taste bad.
Mm.
It has a yeasty taste to it, like a beer.
Mm-hmm.
So I think legally it has 0.5% alcohol in it. And 0.5% in the United States qualifies as an alcoholic beverage, which requires a permit to, you know, to say sell or whatever, which she's not doing anyway. But so it's sort of like I call it soda with a happy ending if you drink enough of it. But it tasted good, you know. I mean, I'd probably kill it by adding a little sugar to it because it's a little on the bitter side, from you know,
okay.
But not bad. You get used to it.
Yeah, but all that stuff.
Not bitter, like,
Yeah, all that stuff. It's all about timing and everything. So you've got to, and you learn. And I will also say that when it comes to the yeast, I have been much luckier the two times I've done it, though. But I was much happier with the liquid yeast that they have. It comes in a bag that you smack it, and then you let it sit for like 45 minutes before you're going to use it. And the bag actually starts blowing up, so you know the yeast is good. Whereas the dry stuff, the my first batch, I had to double yeast it because the first batch didn't work out so well. And so I'm going to stick. Yeah, the liquid yeast is a little more expensive, but at least you know it's good. And my second brew was man, it was carbonated. It was everything. It was done right. You know.
So. I hear you there. It's funny too, that whole art of carbonation. I mean, you know, when the missus handed me this mango kefia, she says, "Here, listen to this." And she had it in she transferred it into a 2-liter bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Opened up the cap, and you talk about gas escape.
Huh.
It was incredible the amount of carbonation that was in this stuff. And it, like I said, it didn't taste bad in any way, shape, or form. You know, it's plus the health benefits were just like off the charts as far as if you got eczema or any kind of something that bothers your skin. You drink this stuff, and it supposedly really clears up your skin.
Wow!
But what I'm thinking. Well, it's sort of like a homemade soda. You can flavor it any way you want with anything you want. It's all natural. The yeasts themselves, if she feeds them, now I'm going to probably get this one wrong, so bear with me. I think she's feeding them with, you want to use raw honey, which I went out and I bought her a big jar of the stuff I found in stores that were selling it. Trader Joe's is one. Raw, unprocessed honey. You feed it to this stuff and it just grows.
Mm.
And then another one she was feeding, the heck is that sugar you get at the East Indian food store? Begins with an M. crud. I can't remember, but it's like a brown sugar.
Okay.
And it's really quite interesting. You know, I mean, at first you look and go, wow, I got jars of snot in every room growing something on top of them, the skin.
Yeah.
And then you realize the health benefits of this stuff. And they say, well, it's not that different than brewing beer or making wine.
Right. Now, the stuff that she's making, these kind of like homemade sodas, do they require...
Yeah, the cafea.
Does it require to be brewed, in other words, you know, heated up actually before she bottles it?
No, but they have to stay at a constant temperature. And
okay.
They can't be in, they have to stay at constant room, like 72 degrees, nothing really cooler than 70 to 72. So that's a pretty tight window.
Okay.
And at the same time, so it's basically the temperature inside the house, you know, without, you know, the air conditioning on, say in the summer, cranking.
Yeah.
And two, the most important thing is that she has like a breather filter on the top of it.
Yeah.
And as I was learning about it, for instance, you can't have the baker's rack in the kitchen, and then, you know, when traditionally wash everything down with bleach. Hmm. Let's say if you're bleaching the countertops, we don't whatever. The bleach particles in the air will actually permeate through the filter and kill these things. Just from virtue of floating in the air, we're talking on a micron level.
Right, right.
So
that's why you put the filter, the bubbler filter.
Yeah, but I mean, even on top of that, exactly.
Yeah.
That's got liquid in it. It allows gas out, but nothing can get in.
Right.
And then the other things where you can't have a June, J-U-N-E, I believe it's how it's pronounced, or J-U-N, I'm not sure, and a cafea in the same room with one another, because one will feed off the other and cross-pollinate.
Really?
Which I didn't, you know.
Wow.
Yep. By virtue of being next to each other.
Jeez.
So I'm like, oh, I'm learning something. It wasn't like I set out to learn it. She's learning it, so by virtue of I learn it.
Yeah. Well, when I get ready to do the next brew, which will be coming up, I'll have to have you up for that. Because we were talking about doing that anyway. Because, there's 2 hours of brewing on top of the stove, which it's a pleasant smell.
I was saying to the guys about that. When you're brewing that yeast on the stove, he said, the hell with that, stinks up the house. And I said, so what do you guys do? He goes, get yourself your same gas grill propane tank and get a burner.
Yeah, that's what I want to get one of those and do it out in the garage. Mm-hmm. Because it does.
Which I thought that made so much sense. Why stink up the house, A?
Yeah.
Then B, you're going to get yelled at by the missus for stinking up the house.
Yep. Yeah, that's what I'm looking for, because they make ones that are kind of low level and they're kind of extra supported so that they take the large pot, the brewing pot. And I was thinking about moving it out to the whole operation out to the garage. And that would help too, because where it sits to ferment is up here in the QRM studios, as you've seen that.
Right.
So, but
absolutely, and it's the same burner. You just don't buy anything fancy. You buy the same one you use for deep frying turkeys.
Yep, it's the same thing. Yeah,
exact same. It's because the pot you use for deep frying turkeys is about the same size you would use for brewing your beer.
Right. Yep. So yeah, these people that try to sell you special brewing ones, it's like, that's bullshit. I was thinking about just doing it on top of the gas grill, because I've got an outside thing, but I don't know whether it would take the weight of you know, full pot like that.
I don't know, because you got, how many gallons do you got now? It's a 15-gallon pot, isn't it?
No, I do, I think it's 5 gallons. It does 5 gallons. So.
All right, well, you figure the weight of water is, what, 8.36 pounds per gallon?
Yeah, something like that.
And beer's going to be a little bit lighter, I'm thinking. Call it 7 pounds per gallon. So, yeah, you got 35 pounds hanging off the edge of the grill, give or take.
Yeah. And it's the pot's too big to put it on the actual grill.
All right.
So. Hey, Josh?
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm going to ask you to hang up and call in again, because you've got a really crappy connection.
Oh, well, I'm glad to be of service.
And he's gone. And Michael, you're still there, right? Michael? Michael? Is Michael there? Oh, no. It says you're connected. Michael? Oh, I don't know what's going on. This is fun with Skype. And now, Josh is not calling back. I think we've got some issues. Okay, there's Josh. And I answered it, but I don't... Oh, come on. I pressed the plus. Oh, this thing's killing me. It's killing me, I'm telling you. Let me try to call you, Josh. Let's see. And I got nothing. I've got absolutely nothing. Oh my. I don't know what's going on. Let's see. And there he is. And I'm pressing the plus key. And that seems to not work. Okay, I'm hanging up and calling everybody. All right. And yet, there is no thing. Okay, Michael is gone. Who is here? Contacts, let me do this. Let me call. And I'll call Josh.
Hey, how's that?
Yo, much better. But somehow, we lost Michael. And I got you calling twice, and I pressed the add button, the little plus button to add you, and the window went away, and I kept hearing the phone ring. And there was nothing else I could touch because the window went away and it ignored me pressing the plus. So let me see if I can get the virtual Youper back up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let me see if I can call him. Can I add him? Call. Add to con... Add. Let me see if I can... I may have a separate call. Hang on.
Yep, sir.
Can you hear that? Oh, no. It's a separate call. I can't believe it. It's not working. Are you there? Oh, no, wait a minute. There we go. Are you there?
Hey, I'm back. Hey, well, you're back. I'm still here.
I was trying to call him, and I'm not getting an answer. Now, he was getting some wet snow, heavy snow, so I'm wondering whether his connection crapped out.
I don't know. You know, I thought I could be wrong, but I thought I heard him say, "I'm out of here, guys."
Oh, really?
I could be wrong. I mean, I do hear things quite frequently. The voices tell me all kinds of things in my head.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, I didn't, that could be. I'm not sure why he needed to leave unless he had to leave early.
An EMS emergency or something? I don't know.
I don't think he was on call.
Don't know.
So...
I'm only speculating. I could be 110% wrong on that one.
Huh. Yeah, because it might have been that it was... We were having problems with him in the beginning. So,
And he said he's getting snow? A storm?
Yeah, he's getting wet snow right now. It's not, you know, just typical wet snow.
I got this Portuguese port down at Trader Joe's.
Ah.
I was watching Anthony Bourdain's TV show on Netflix. No, was it Netflix or Hulu Plus? It was Hulu Plus called, I think it's A Chef's Tale. Mm. It was the one before No Reservations.
Okay.
And I did a whole segment on Portugal, and I'm like, wow. And then my wife and I are walking through Trader Joe's, and I found Portuguese port ruby. I don't like the tawnies. And I thought, ooh, only $13. I'm buying a bottle. So that's tonight's beverage. And it is damn good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is really, it's like fruit juice with a happy ending. I'm telling you, this is good stuff. Porto, it's called Morgado. Bottled in Portugal. So.
Hmm. Wow. So I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened to him.
I don't know. I mean, realistically, I don't know. I could have sworn I thought I heard him say, "Hey guys, I'm out of here."
Okay.
But like I said, I could be wrong on that. Matter of fact, I'm probably wrong on that one. Okay. I'm usually wrong.
Yeah, maybe something came up.
Big. He's always on the go. This much we know.
Uh-oh, it says under here on the bottom, the last thing here, change in plans for Sunday work. I don't know what that means. Maybe he did get called.
It could be, you know.
Yeah, because he does, even when he's off, he's on he's on duty locally.
Right, so, exactly.
As a volunteer, so, maybe you got a call. I'm not sure. Oh, well, what can I say? This is going to be a very strange show this week. I mean, it's all over the place with lots of Skype errors and everything else. And
I was just checking out that website I was telling you about.
Yeah. I'm getting ready to just throw away the rest of the topics. We can save them for next week, you know?
Yeah, might as well.
Because, it's just been very strange. A very strange show this week. But we'll put one out anyway.
Oh, absolutely. You know, We can't disappoint all four listeners. You know, even if it's something that they don't even want to hear about, hey, well, at least we're out there trying.
That's right. That is it. Yes. So, but I may have to go check out Jasper's with you sometime.
I think we should. I think it requires a QRM podcast field trip.
Yeah, I think so.
We can do a little filming there because those guys are really jazzed. As it happened, I was talking to the guys, and Jim, who was absolutely an awesome guy to talk to, really, really cool guy to speak with. He's like, the largest percentage of home brewers happen to also be engineers. Go figure that. Huh? That's statistically proven, and I thought, makes sense.
Yeah.
That being said, the store's awesome. They got signage from like beers from all over the world, plus a whole shelf full of them, and then all the supplies. I mean, you could think of. You walk in there, it smells like hops. It's just, and it's Christ. I bet you that's the shop itself is in a large building in the probably built somewhere around the turn of the century. So it's a really cool, the old pine floors and everything. It's awesome, man. Right next to a pub, too. So when you're in there talking about making beer, when you're having a good time with it, and then you talk yourself right into being thirsty, well, lo and behold, there's a bar next door. So you can go off, walk right in and, wet your whistle.
Wow. That's neat. So, yeah, we'll definitely have to check that out. See whether, it sounds very similar to Brewtopia, which I don't get to as often as I'd like to, but it's a little closer to Nashua for me. And
well, from your work down to here, it'd be real short.
Yeah,
short.
That wouldn't be bad.
Right. So, yeah. I mean, if it's one of those times when you say, hey, after work, I'm coming down. I'm actually on their website now, and their hours, they close at 6 p.m. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Open until 7 p.m. on Thursdays. 6 on Fridays, and 10:30 to 5 p.m. on Saturdays. So it looked like it'd probably be a Thursday night venture for yourself. Where I could meet you down there. We could get beer supplies, and then you and me and the missus could go out, grab a bite to eat or something.
Yeah, that would work. Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just thinking. I'm getting the itch to do another brew, but I did want to get a stove this time.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I can see where I'm going to need one.
Yeah, it does stink up the house. And I don't notice it after a day, but Anne Marie notices it. She's got a more sensitive nose than I do.
A keen sense of smell she has.
Yes, she does. I mean, it's amazing what she can smell. She goes, "What's that?" And I can't smell anything. And then 10 minutes later, when it's much more pungent, I finally smell it. You know?
Oh, yeah. That's something on fire.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. So, anyway, we could probably do a couple of these. One you'd be interested in probably is the Roco 3. Was announced. I don't know whether it's for sale yet, but they've come out with a Roco 3 with a better, faster processor in it, and the fact that you can
instant stream.
Well, it's a faster stream, obviously. They redid the GUI for it, which the Roku 2s are going to get to. Coming up here soon. So, and they've got a feature where you can, it's got a better remote control. Plus you can plug headphones or earbuds into the remote control.
Smart.
And listen to it, you know, if you're watching it and somebody else is in the room doing something else.
Okay.
So, yeah, I thought that was kind of an interesting.
That is a neat option to have. I mean, I got the Roku One, the OG, original. And I mean, it's the original high def one.
Yeah.
But it's. I was actually saying to my wonderful bride, I says, I'm thinking about pulling the trigger and getting one TV in this house, the one in the living room, set up with the Dish Network, and all the other TVs in the house will have Rokus on them. Because I you know that the $175-$195 TV a month TV thing, that's for the birds. So if I just got, I put an antenna, an indoor antenna up, I didn't get crap for channels, and I was pretty bummed about that. So I thought, all right, well, you know, $40-$50 bucks a month, I can deal with that as far as basic news, and. Well, like I said, I got to get BBC America.
Yeah. Well, if you're looking to upgrade the Roku 3 is going for, I think, like $99 or something like that.
It's cheaper than what I paid for my original one.
Really?
I paid $128
for
it at Circuit City in Salem.
Wow. Yeah, so. Yeah, it might be time especially if you got a Roku One, it might be time to upgrade. So, because that yours, I know you've had it for 2 or 3 years, haven't you?
3 years now.
Yeah, so might be time to do the upgrade thing on that.
It's funny. I don't, you know, I actually like the way the Roku works way better than watching the TV using the Xbox 360.
Really?
The Roku interface is much better.
I like it. You know, we have the one remote control, and of course, we always battle for the remote control, and most of them always end up by the couch instead of near me. So I have my special, I bought my own special universal remote control that is not to be touched by anyone, that stays by my chair.
Yeah.
And I use that, and with the Roku, I just use, they have an app on the iPhone.
That's right.
So I just use the app on the iPhone to control the Roku, and you know, because every time, sure enough, I think I'll watch some Roku. Oh, look, it's across the room.
Now I gotta get out of the chair.
Yeah, it's like, oh, do I really want to watch it?
Oh, trip over the dog, and it's just, it's too much like work.
Yeah, I got my iPhone here. Look, boom, Roku. Okay, I'm controlling it.
Works. That's funny.
Works really well. So, yeah, that's a thing that was announced this week. So, that's going for it. We'll do some of these. Skype. Skype changed their iOS update.
Yeah.
And supposedly it's better. I just opened it up to see if it still was working. And it logged in and everything, but I didn't actually try to make a phone call with it. But Michael said he tried it, and he says they changed a lot of things in the GUI. So
really?
Yeah. Gee, surprise. It's Skype.
Shocker. Owned by Microsoft. Changing shit without letting anybody know.
Yeah. So we'll have to.
And that's okay, so long as it would work.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, I don't know. That's we'll see. I'll have to give it a try sometime.
Right.
I usually don't have it on my phone because it does tend to eat the battery quite a bit.
Right.
Use up the battery. So, but lately, I don't know. I've gotten phone calls, even though I think I have the thing turned off. I still get phone calls on it.
Really?
Yeah, so I'm not sure what's going on there. It's like, how do I turn it off in the background? So
it's interesting. You're right. It's I got nothing to say.
So when are you getting your iPhone?
Oh, well, that got changed again.
Oh, you're kidding.
No. I got another BlackBerry. I'm on my third.
Yeah, you said that last time.
Yeah, yeah. This one rings sometimes.
Hmm.
So it'll ring occasionally, or if you send me a text message, sometimes it'll make the little silly noise to tell me, hey, look at your phone, and someone sent you a text. But and most of the time it doesn't. But yeah, that whole directive, from what I understand, has either been postponed or changed. So pretty much, when they put one in my hand, then I'll believe it. Until then, I'm not holding my breath.
So what are they going after now? Or are they just sticking with BlackBerry?
Sticking with what's there.
Really?
Yep.
Must be.
I'm actually at a point where I want to give the damn thing back. That way I can go get my own phone.
Yeah. I mean, that's the reason why I use my own phone. I could get one from the company, but then I worry that the company will prevent me from doing certain things, and I just don't want to do that. I want to have total control.
Right, and they have, we just got a directive sent out from corporate, pretty much on that very same subject that you're just talking about, what you can, what you can't do, what you should do, what you shouldn't do, which is understandable. They're looking to protect their assets and keep their costs down. That being the case, you say, all right, well, I'm not going to push the issue, but if they were to come to me tomorrow and say, hey, so-and-so and some upper echelon Mr. Bigwig department decided you don't need a phone, all right. I've got no problem with that. Also, don't expect me to give you my personal cell phone number when I go out and get another phone, because it'll be a long, long, long freezing cold day in hell before I give you that number.
Yeah. Yeah. I do give out my cell phone number to work only because it's what I use. And especially when I'm doing the duty on the weekends, sometimes I get the duty where the customer has to call me. So I give them my cell phone.
Well, a customer is one thing. But if it's for work, oh, we have an issue with blah, blah, blah. So, my personal thing is if I'm not being, I'll stay on call and answer the calls. If you want me to use the phone. And that's why I have one. However, if it were to be pulled from my person, or they say, hey, you know, we're changing the way things are working and we need it back, and oh, by the way, you're still on call. Oh, no, I'm not. No, I'm not.
Exactly.
You may think I am, however, you can call 1-800-EAT-SHIT and see if I answer on the other end. Because I ain't giving you the number to my personal phone. And of course, it was part of our part of the little newsletter. Well, you know, here's the criteria to expense anything from your personal calls. Mm-hmm. Well, there's an easy way why I would never ever need to expense anything. I ain't giving you the damn number, and I'm not using my phone for personal calls or work related calls. You know, my own personal phone's my business. Yeah. That's the way I look at it, you know. But I don't have that problem. I just have that. That's my contingency plan if I get approached.
Yeah.
You know, because it's not being difficult. It's just being, you know, it's being realistic and honest. Yeah. You know, nothing. You get nothing in this life for free.
Right. Exactly. So, well, you know what, Jess? I know you just got here not too long ago, but we've been going for probably about an hour and a half.
Completely understandable.
And I'm not sure what the length of the show is going to be by the time we get it edited together, because, like I said, right now Michael has part of it as I was trying to scramble and get things up and running here again. So I've got the beginning, he's got the middle, and then I've got the end, because it looks like he crapped out somewhere toward the end. I don't know what happened. So. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. We do have a musical guest tonight. The musical guest is, oh, it's scrolled way down here. It's David Phillips.
Yes.
And his song Lovely. So, and so we'll say, I want to put out there to all the men and women in the armed services, thank you for what you're doing, both CONUS, OCONUS, and you guys that are OCONUS right now. We hope you get home to your family and friends real soon.
Absolutely.
So with that, what started out with three people moved to four and now down to two. From the southwest corner of New Hampshire, I am Barry J.
From the southeast corner of New Hampshire, this is Jash.
And we'll see you next week. Here's David Phillips. Down. Samson, speak. Good boy.